In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our reading this morning. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Christ our God came down from heaven to earth and became a man in order to save us. God the Father sent His only begotten Son to redeem us and to save us. Our part is to believe in Him, to have faith, trust, obedience, and to follow Him in all things that can bring about our salvation. Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, and He's God's promise of man's redemption. In John 3, verse 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Moses lifted up a large bronze serpent to cure the Israelites from the deadly bites of the poisonous snakes. And Christ will be lifted up on the cross for us. As the believer beholds the crucified Christ through faith as Savior, the poisonous bite of that old serpent, the devil, and the bite of sin and death is counteracted, and it's cured. It's gone away. The moment of Christ's greatest humiliation becomes the moment of exaltation for completing His redeeming work. In John chapter 19, verse 30, Christ said three words, "It is finished." This is the first of this reading here in John, of many instances in John's Gospel where Jesus teaches that He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament type. Christ on the cross is that New Testament. Christ on the cross is the New Testament, fulfillment of that. This Thursday we have a service for the exaltation of the cross. Orthros is at 6 and the liturgy follows. I would encourage you to come, because it's where we exalt and worship God and thank Him for that which He's done for us. And finally, on John 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Many say this is the essence of the gospel. But it's God's gift of His Son as the ultimate expression of His love for the world. And then Christ gives of Himself that we might be forgiven and saved. And as we come together and experience that forgiveness and our salvation in the divine liturgy and in the Holy Eucharist. I have to ask you a question. Do you take the Eucharist and this divine liturgy seriously? Or is it something you just kind of go through the motions in order to get to coffee hour? This is the ultimate. This is where we always want to be and should be. During the litany and during the anaphora, we're reminded of the priest's prayers that include John 3:16. When the priest says, "With these blessed powers, we also, O Master who lovest mankind, cry aloud and say, Holy art thou and all holy, thou and thine only begotten Son and thy Holy Spirit. Holy art thou and all holy, and magnificent is thy glory, who has so loved thy world as to give thine only begotten Son, that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who, when he had come and had fulfilled all the dispensation for us, in the night in which he was betrayed, or rather gave himself up for the life of the world, took bread in his holy and immaculate and blameless hands, and when he had given thanks and blessed it and hallowed it and broken it, he gave it to his holy disciples and apostles, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. And likewise, after supper, he took the cup, saying, Drink of this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is a holy moment in time. This is our entering into the heavenlies to receive the gift of life. The gift of life is Christ Himself. Do I understand it all? I mean, do I comprehend it? No. It's a mystery. But I come in faith, believing in the Son of God, that He will give me what I need, that I might live a holy life and follow Him. I don't know how many of you can prepare for communion, but the prayers of communion in the service book are really, they're just good to give you a perspective of who we are and who God is. Maybe read one or two, or read all of them. But it helps me to see my own need, and also to see the gifts of eternal life that God gives us. I'm going to read one of the prayers of St. Basil the Great. O Lord, I know that I receive unworthily thine immaculate body and precious blood. I know that I am guilty and that I eat and drink condemnation to myself, not discerning the body and blood of Christ my God. But trusting in thy compassion, I come unto thee who has said, Whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. Therefore, O Lord, have compassion on me, and make not an example of me the sinner. But do unto me according to thy mercy, and grant that these holy things may be for me unto the healing, the purification, enlightenment, protection, salvation, and sanctification of soul and body, and to the expulsion of every evil imagination, wicked deed, or work of the devil which operateth within my mind and members. May they move me to boldness and love toward thee, to amend and keep firm my life, and may they ever be in me unto the increase of virtue, unto the keeping of thy commandments, unto the communion of thy Holy Spirit, as a provision for eternal life and for a good defense at the fearful judgment seat, and not unto judgment nor unto condemnation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God grant us the grace to believe in him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, this day and into eternity, because he is good and holy, and he loves mankind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.